Let's head to Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us. Good morning, Congressman. How are you this morning?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you. By the way, I ran into your boss last night at the NAB convention, and he and I did a video for his wife Lily's birthday.
Well, speaking of birthdays, belated happy birthday to you. That was, on the 25th, is that right?
Yeah, it was Sunday. We had a good day. Wish you wouldn't bring it up.
Well, you know, they're inevitable.
Didn't have one. It was actually a great day. The numbers are getting too big.
Yeah, I hear how that can be. Okay, well, first of all, let's certainly get your thoughts as far as the Florida situation and the reaction and what we have learned since the fact.
Well, we've got another tragedy on our hands, and it causes us to continue to look at what the drivers are in a situation like this, and mental health is certainly a big issue. Back when Congress passed the Cures Act a couple of years ago, we had the strongest mental health provisions we've had in a piece of legislation in a decade or more. And so that program is being rolled out now. We need to look and see, do some oversight to see how the implementation is going, to see how we could have intercepted the murderer before he actually was able to get a gun and do this. The second point, well, we had several points of failure. The second point of failure that really is the one that bothers me the most right now is the Broward County Sheriff's Office. In Florida, there's a law called the Baker Act, which would have given the Sheriff's Office a chance to stop this murderer from getting a weapon of any kind. Because in the sheriff's office had somewhere between 23 to 39 contacts. CNN says it's 39. The sheriff's argues 23. I say, what the hell's the difference? You know, and more than a couple is too many. And they could have stopped this guy from being in a position to kill those kids. So in my view, the blood of the kids more than anybody, second only to the murderer, is on the hands of, the sheriff's office. The other thing is you have to wonder about these employees, the deputies at the sheriff's office that didn't go respond to save these kids. I guarantee our Brazos Valley law enforcement personnel would have stopped that murder as fast as they could had it happened in our community. And so I don't know what's going on there, but there's something that's got to be done. The third point of failure was the FBI. And so I'm really I'm disappointed in how they failed. I mean, they had a YouTube video where this kid, this murderer, said he was going to be a school shooter. I don't know how much more clearly you need to do it, but they just dropped the ball. I don't know if they're spending their time on, you know, fake FISA warrants or what, but they've got to figure out how to get their act together. And it's not, I don't think it's the boots on the ground at the FBI. I think it's something wrong at the culture at the top of the organization. So those are my thoughts at this point. Now, in terms of fixing it, I mean, there are a bunch of calls for legislation and so forth. Back in December, in response to the Southern and Spring shooting, the House passed a Fix Next Act, which would have helped stop this young man. Had the Broward County Sheriff's Department done its job, or the FBI done its job. So we passed that. We need to get the Senate to fix that, to pass that bill as well. The bump stock issue has come up, even though they weren't used in this. I still support where President Trump is on that, and that's to either ban them or cause them to be subject to licensure. And then, the question of ages for long gun ownership has come up. That one, I'm willing to talk about that with people, but as a Texan, I learned how to handle a weapon before I was a teenager. Got my first long gun before I was a teenager for Christmas one year. And so I'd hate to do something that takes away the rights of our citizens here in the Brazos Valley because of an incident like this when it could have been stopped for other reasons instead of age. So that's I'm sorry I rambled a little bit on that, but those are the issues I think we need to pay attention to in this particular situation.
Well, clearly it's a conversation we're going to be having for weeks to come, but certainly wanted to get your initial thoughts on that. Now, you weren't with us last week. You were out of the country. What was going on there?
I was in Japan talking to not only to our military leaders and our diplomatic leaders in the area, but also the Japanese Prime Minister, his Minister of Foreign Affairs, his Minister of Defense. And we were talking about Asia Pacific and regional security issues. They're really, really concerned about what's going on in North Korea, North Korea is continuing to violate the sanctions, and the Japanese have intelligence to prove that, that they shared with us. So that's something where we've got to step up and continue to make sure the sanctions are enforced. China remains an issue in the area based on how they are becoming aggressive and trying to nationalize parts of the East and South China Sea. Also, trade issues were an important issue. You know, Japan would like to see free and fair trade just like we would. It's important to us in the Brazos Valley that have jobs related to trade. And then another issue, which is kind of interesting, we don't face the same issue in the United States as much, but they have a rapidly aging population, so they are trying to grapple with how they maintain economic growth and opportunity when they're losing about 2% of the population every year. So those are the things that we went through, all of which you can tie back home to security and the economy in the Brazos Valley.
Sure. How about from a legislative standpoint, what's been going on and what's on the agenda?
Well, the biggest thing that we passed this week was a bill to deal with human trafficking. We've got about 70% of all human trafficking incidents have a nexus to the Internet. And so it's been kind of a wide open range on the Internet in terms of the enforcement of human trafficking activities, and so we're trying to clamp down on those. The bill that we passed yesterday, I think, gives us a strong first start. We also passed a bill to deal with the capital requirements of banks. As we know, Dodd-Frank was passed back in the 2009-2010 time era. It's really hurt the ability of banks to meet the needs of their communities, and so we passed a bill to try to reset that to fit our economic growth profile. But still maintain the sanctity of the banking system. So those are the two things that we did this week. Coming up, immigration is still the big debate. The DACA, the president said that DACA was going to go away as of March the 5th. Now, the courts have extended that, but I do think Congress needs to act as soon as it can. And infrastructure bill is something that we need to look at right after that. The president rolled out an infrastructure plan. We're looking at this in the House. And so we should see progress on both these fronts over the course of the next couple of months.
And I see today that Billy Graham will be laying in honor there in Washington, D.C.
That's correct. If folks folks should be able to watch that on C-SPAN today. You know, Billy Graham is an incredible evangelist, and he led a lot of people to know the truth of the salvation of Christ. So I'm glad we're honoring him in this important way in Washington today.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. As always, we thank you for your time today.
Great talking to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
Certainly. Thanks.